RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listener, welcome to English Bulletin program of a Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesia Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment Music Corner. That was our program summary for today, listener. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. The Indonesian government officially disbands Hizbut Tahrir Indonesia. Exxon withdraws from East Natuna Block Consortium. Indonesia wins badminton gold at ASEAN School Games in Singapore. Now the news in detail. The Indonesian government had officially disbanded Hizbut Tahrir Indonesia, HTI, today. The Justice and Human Rights Ministry Legal Administration Director General Freddy Haris said that the HTI's legal entity status has been revoked based on the government regulation Anglo of Law or Perpu No. 2, 2017. He told a press conference in his office today, July the 19th, that the government believes that the revocation of the decree for HTI legal entity approval was not done arbitrarily, but after a synergy between governmental agencies in the fields of politics, law, and security. The government has reiterated its commitment to upholding freedom of assembly and freedom of speech. He said that mass organization must abide by the applicable law. Freddy said, despite naming Pancasila as an ideology in its articles of association, the HTI activities contravene the said ideology and national unity. They broke their own articles of association. Freddy said that the HTI has officially been disbanded following the revocation of its decree for legal entity approval. He said that anyone having any objection to the decision may take legal action against the government in accordance with the laws and regulation. Indonesian Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry Director General of Oil and Gas Igusti Nyoman Wiratmaja said in Jakarta on Tuesday, July the 18th, that Exxon, which has withdrawn from the East Natuna Block Consortium, will be summoned maybe next week. Aside from Exxon, the consortium consists of state-owned oil and gas company Pertamina and Thailand-based PTTEO. The companies conducted a technical and commercial feasibility study in early 2016. The management study has been initiated by Pertamina as part of the principle of agreement with the government. The agreement will end in 2018. Vice President of Public and Government Affairs of Exxon, Erwin Mariotto, has confirmed the report that the company is not keen on continuing its activity in East Natuna. The decision was made after the company concluded the feasibility study. Erwin told Reuters that the company remains committed to operating and seeking another business opportunity in Indonesia. Indonesia has won a gold medal in badminton at the ASEAN School Games 2017 in Singapore Wednesday, July the 19th. Men's singles shuttler Nur Yahya Velani grabbed the gold medal after beating his compatriot Handoko Wijayanto 21-14-21-15 in the final. Indonesia won a silver medal in women's doubles after losing the final to Malaysian pair Toi Wei and Pearly Tan 18-21-18-21. As such, Indonesian badminton team collected 1 gold, 3 silvers, and 5 bronze medals. It fails to meet the target set by the Youth and Sport Ministry, namely 3 badminton gold medals. Indonesia badminton team coach Lulu Hadianto has acknowledged the failure. Lulu said that the squad who played at the ASEAN School Games 2017 comprised of backups to the team who will be competing at the Asian Junior Championship in Jakarta on July the 22nd until 30th. Having won a badminton gold medal, Indonesia has so far won a total of 20 gold medals. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesia's Deposit Insurance Corporation, LPS, is holding the 15th regional meeting of Asia-Pacific Deposit Insurers in Yogyakarta. LPS Chairman Halim Alamsyah said 70 participants from 30 countries attended the meeting, which runs from Monday to Thursday, to discuss current issues faced by deposit insurance providers in the region. Halim said in Yogyakarta on Tuesday, July the 18th, that over the past 10 years, deposit insurance coverage in Asia-Pacific has grown to an average $100,000 per bank account. That is the second highest in the world after the North American region. That means the average income in the Asia-Pacific region has risen significantly, and the deposit insurers in the region had become more mindful of the possibility of a crisis. He said some countries had strengthened their deposit insurance role. The Korean Deposit Insurance Corporation, for example, could investigate a troubled bank without asking for permission from the Financial Services Authority. Established in 2004, the LPS has amassed 79.3 trillion rupiahs in funds as of April, up 8.68% from the same month last year. The funds are sourced from premiums paid by banks. As of May, it has handled 79 troubled banks and paid out 1.2 trillion rupiahs in claim to bank customers. The Indonesian government has prepared 30,000 hectares of land for palm and replanting pilot project to increase productivity. Minister of Agrarian and Special Planning Sofyan Jalil recently said in Jakarta that as a pilot project, the government will replant palm oil on 30,000 hectares of land. He stated that the replanting project will be an area where the cooperative sector is running strongly, considering that the cooperative is expected to become the basis of the project. Sofyan asserted, if the first phase of the project is successful, then there will be more projects the next year. Meanwhile, Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs, Darmin Nasution, explained that the oil palm replanting should be done in order to avoid increasingly complicated issues. According to him, the palm oil rejuvenation program will be run in cooperation with Indonesian Ministry of Agriculture and the Plantation Fund Management Board for palm oil. In addition to palm oil, the government will also run a rubber rejuvenation program in 2018 on 15,000 hectares of land. The Swiss government has provided a grant of $75 million for Indonesia to support the country's economic development. The Swiss government wants to continue and maintain technical support for Indonesia. Swiss Economic Education and Research Minister Johann Schneider Ammann said after a meeting with President Joko Widodo in Jakarta on Tuesday, July the 18th. Johann Schneider Ammann, who is also a member of the Swiss Federal Council, was on a two-day visit to Jakarta to resume negotiation on comprehensive economic partnership agreement between Indonesia and the European Free Trade Agreement, and to strengthen cooperation in expanding vocational training and educational system in Indonesia. Switzerland's supports 40 projects in Indonesia to help maintain economic stability, increase access to financial services, promote trading, and back up infrastructure development. Meanwhile, Minister for National Development Planning and Head of the National Planning Board, Bappenas, Bambang Brojonegoro, said the Indonesian government highly appreciates support from the Swiss government for Indonesia. He hopes that the cooperation between the two countries would help create new jobs, equitable economy, and reduce poverty and improve access to financial services in the country. During his stay in the country, the Swiss minister commissioned the Swiss Business Hub at the Swiss Embassy in Jakarta. The Swiss Business Hub, or SBH, provides recommendations and support for export-oriented companies, Swiss companies, seeking the access to Indonesian market. Last item, a cargo plane owned by Jakarta-based cargo airline 3MG ICR Airlines skidded off the runway at Wamena Airport in Papua on Tuesday, July the 18th, sliding toward the airport's perimeter fence, nearly crashing into residential houses. Indonesian Transportation Ministry spokesman G.A. Barata said on Tuesday in Jakarta that the Boeing 737-301SF aircraft from Timika bounced on the landing and veered off the runway. A report from Antara News Agency said one of the plane's tires fell off and was found about 100 meters from its body. The incident forced the ministry to shut the airport for a few hours. Papua Police spokesman Chief Ahmad M. Kamal said there were no casualties in the accident. To end the news, here are the main points once again. The Indonesian government officially disbands Hizbut Tahrir Indonesia. Indonesian Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry said that Exxon withdraws from ISNAS Tuna Block Consortium. Indonesia wins badminton gold at ASEAN School Games 2017 in Singapore. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
In collaboration with Indonesian Ministry of Tourism, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia present to you the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017 for listeners in Australia, Japan, South Korea, China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, India, and New Zealand. Indonesia is the biggest archipelago in the world, with 17,000 islands and 215 million people of more than 200 ethnic groups. This piece of heaven is blessed with the most diverse sceneries, beginning from the fertile fields in Java and Bali, deep into the rainforests of Sumatra, Borneo, and Sulawesi, followed by the vast savanna in Nusa Tenggara Island, reaching up to the snowy peak of West Papua. Moreover, its cultures are rich with various ancient temples, music, and ritual in different places. Everyone will be welcome here warmly and friendly, in the typical way of the Indonesia. Are you dreaming to visit Indonesia? Make it real by joining Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. You can be the lucky one to enjoy the beauty of Indonesia for free. Answer the following question. 1. What is the tagline of Indonesian tourism? 2. What is your favorite segment in Voice of Indonesia? 3. Tell us briefly why you want to visit Indonesia. Send your answer, personal data, your passport number, and passport expiry date to voiwiquiz2017@gmail.com. voiwiquiz2017@gmail.com. Before May 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia!
Open your mind, feel the warmth, see the smile, friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand, stand with me.
It is our commentary entitled War in Marawi, a Lesson for Neighbors. The war in Marawi in the Philippines is not over. Fierce fighting continues, although the Philippines armed forces continue to bombard the location suspected of being the base of resistance the extreme Moucha group continue to fight. Since the fighting, hundreds of people from both sides have become victims and lost their lives. It was reported that at least 98 soldiers and 45 civilians died. While on Mute side, the casualties have reached at least 413 people who were killed during the fighting. It remains unclear when the armed conflict that has destroyed Marawi will end. The Philippines Armed Forces suggest there are at least 60 members of the Maut group who have not surrendered. In addition to killing hundreds of people, the battle also ravaged Marawi, which was originally beautiful and peaceful as one of the economic centers in the southern Philippines, especially Mindanao. Marawi destruction has caused new problems. To stop the resistance of the extremist Maute group, Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte extended his military emergency in Marawi and Mindanao Island. Duterte's decision was not fully supported in the country. A number of residents protested against it. Perhaps some Filipinos still remember and traumatized with the same policy which had been taken by Ferdinand Marcos in the past. A senator, Antonio Trilanges, stated that prolonged extension of the military emergency could lead to abuse of power. What happened in Mindanao, the fierce fighting of Umar and Abdullah Maute resistance, has indeed given a warning signal to the Philippines' neighboring countries. Singapore, for example, has over urban warfare training and the use of reconnaissance aircraft. The battle in Marawi, with the deaths of hundreds of people and the loss of peace and economic issue, should be a lesson for the Philippines' neighbor, especially Indonesia. Threat of local terrorism due to the extreme and radical behavior and the influence of ISIS must really be anticipated early on. And that was commentary from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with the July 19, 1979. The Sandinista rebels overthrow the government of the Somoza family in Nicaragua. On July 19, 1979, Sandinista rebels took control of Managua following the flight of President Anastasio Somoza Debayle, completing the defeat of the National Guard and ending the civil war in Nicaragua. The Sandinista National Liberation Front, FSLN, is now a democratic socialist political party in Nicaragua. Its members are called Sandinistas. The FSLN overthrew Anastasio Somoza Debayle in 1979, ending the Somoza dynasty, and established a revolutionary government in its place. Following their seizure of power, the Sandinistas ruled Nicaragua from 1979 to 1990, first as part of a junta of National Reconstruction. Following the resignation of centrist members from this junta, the FSLN took exclusive power in March 1981. They instituted a policy of mass literacy, devoted significant resources to healthcare, and promoted gender equality. A militia known as the Contras was formed in 1981 to overthrow the Sandinista government and was funded and trained by the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency, but failed. On July 19, 1947, the Prime Minister of the Shadow Burmese government, Bokyok Aung San, and six of his cabinet and two non-cabinet members are assassinated by Kalon U Seo. The date is known as Martyr's Day and is a Burmese national holiday observed on July 19 to commemorate General Aung San and seven other leaders of the pre-independence interim government, all of whom were assassinated on that day in 1947. It is customary for high-ranking government officials to visit the Martyrs' Mausoleum in Bokyok, or Major General Aung San was a Myanmar statesman, firstly communist and later social democratic politician, revolutionary nationalist, founder of the Tatmadaw, and is considered father of the nation of modern-day Myanmar, who served as fifth premier of the British Crown Colony of Burma from 1946 to 1947. He was the founder of the Communist Party of Burma. He was responsible for bringing about Burma's independence from British rule, but was assassinated 6 months before independence. He is recognized as the leading architect of independence and the founder of the Union of Burma. Affectionately known as Bokyok or Major General Aung San, is still widely admired by the Burmese people, and his name is still invoked in Burmese politics to this day. Aung San's daughter, Aung San Suu Kyi, is a Burmese stateswoman and politician and a recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize, who is now serving as State Councillor and 20th and first female Minister of Foreign Affairs in Hee Tin Kyaw's cabinet. Last event is of July 19, 1985, Sumanjaya died. Sumanjaya was born in Purworejo, Central Java on August 5, 1934, and is one of the writers and film directors in Indonesia who was quite famous then. Sumanjaya studied at All Union State Institute of Cinematography, Moscow, Russia, from 1959 to 1964. He produced about 16 films during the 14 years of film production career. But with that, Sumanjaya almost always won an award in the Indonesian Film Festival. Sumanjaya's films are inherent to the social reality. Among them, Sidul Anak Betawi and Si Mamat in 1973, Sidul Anak Modern in 1976, Kartini in 1982, and others. Listener, that was Today in History of the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listener, welcome back to Voice Green. Today we'll talk an issue about regional leaders are demanded to lead the climate change control. The President's Special Envoy for Climate Change Control, Rahmat Witular, said the largest greenhouse gas emissions come from urban activity, so the heads of the region must stand in front of a climate change control action. The World Bank data said cities around the world only make up 3% of the land on Earth, but consume 60 to 80% of energy and produce 75% of greenhouse gas emissions. In Indonesia, urban areas grow very fast. This was conveyed by Rahmat Bitular in his written statement received by Antara in Jakarta on Friday after he attended Eco City World Summit in Melbourne, Australia from July 12 to 14, 2017. The Central Bureau of Statistics noted the high level of urbanization. For example, in 2015, urbanization reached 59.3%. This figure is expected to increase to 82.37% in 2045. Meanwhile, by 2020, Indonesia is expected to grow 20 metropolitans, 50 medium cities, and more than 100 new small towns. These new cities have the potential to absorb carbon, but will also emit very high carbon given limited technology and resources and less integrated planning. Therefore, Rahmat Bitular said, it is very important to involve the mayor and region in the fight against climate change and environmental damage. The consideration is that most economic activities, state assets, infrastructure and government facilities exist in districts and cities. According to Rahmat Bitular, if urban planning and development are not properly implemented, the urbanization and rapid development of the city will put pressure on water supply, waste, public health, and also create slums, traffic jams, land tenure conflicts, economic disparities, and criminal. He added that the Indonesian government has done several things to encourage municipal and district governments to be more sustainable. For example, the Adipura program, run by the Ministry of Environment and Forestry, and Green City Development program, by the Ministry of Public Works and Public Housing. Since the introduction of this sustainability concept, many cities and districts in Indonesia have implemented it. However, Indonesia also still has many challenges, including lack of accessible data, limited human resources capacity, and lack of leadership that focuses on sustainability vision. In the Eco City World Summit, Rahmat Bitular reiterated Indonesia's commitment to the Paris Agreement on global action on climate change in accordance with what President Joko Widodo's statement when he was at the G20 summit 2 weeks ago. On the occasion, former Vice President of the United States, Al Gore, expressed his special appreciation to Indonesia for emphasizing Indonesia's position on the world that Indonesia is committed to climate change action. Listener, that was the Voice Green.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with news in brief. The Indonesian government has officially disbanded Hizbut Tahrir Indonesia or HTI today. Indonesian Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry Director General of Oil and Gas Igusti Nyoman Wiratmaja said in Jakarta on Tuesday, July 18, that Exxon has withdrawn from the East Natuna Block Consortium. Indonesia has won a gold medal in badminton at the Asian School Games 2017 in Singapore Wednesday, July 19. Indonesia's Deposit Insurance Corporation, or LPS, is holding the 15th regional meeting of Asia-Pacific Deposit Insurers in Yogyakarta. The Indonesian government has prepared 30,000 hectares of land for palm oil replanting pilot project to increase productivity. The Swiss government has provided a grant of $75 million US for Indonesia to support the country's economic development. A cargo plane by Jakarta-based cargo airline 3MG Asia Airlines skidded off the runway at Wamena Airport in Papua on Tuesday, July 18, sliding toward the airport's perimeter fence, nearly crashing into a residential house. The incident forced the Ministry of Transportation to shut the airport for a few hours. That was the end of News in Brief over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih.
in collaboration with Indonesian Ministry of Tourism, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, present to you the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017 for listeners in Australia, Japan, South Korea, China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, India, and New Zealand. Indonesia is the biggest archipelago in the world, with 17,000 islands and 215 million people of more than 200 ethnic groups. This piece of heaven is blessed with the most diverse sceneries, beginning from the fertile fields in Java and Bali, deep into the rainforests of Sumatra, Borneo, and Sulawesi, followed by the vast savanna in Nusa Tenggara Island, reaching up to the snowy peak of West Papua. Moreover, its cultures are rich with various ancient temples, music, and ritual in different places. Everyone will be welcome here warmly and friendly, in the typical way of the Indonesia. Are you dreaming to visit Indonesia? Make it real by joining Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. You can be the lucky one to enjoy the beauty of Indonesia for free. Answer the following question. 1. What is the tagline of Indonesian tourism? 2. What is your favorite segment in Voice of Indonesia? 3. Tell us briefly why you want to visit Indonesia. Send your answer, personal data, your passport number, and passport expiry date to voiwiquiz2017@gmail.com. voiwiquiz2017@gmail.com before May 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia!
Open your mind, feel the warmth, see the smile, friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand, stand with me. People of the land, they dance and sing, magnificent beauty of nature, among the colors of heaven. This is a wonderful place. I feel loved, I feel wonderful, oh wonderful Indonesia.
You still tuned to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 95 to 5 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at english.rriworldservice.com. Listener, our next segment is Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Welcome back, listener, to Indonesian Wonder. Today we will invite you to one of tourist attraction on Central Java. So stay tuned with us at RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Besides through shortwave, you can also listen to our broadcast at www.voi.co.id. Listener, Kebumen, Central Java, is one of the regencies that pretty good at processing tourist attraction. Evident from one of the beaches in Kebumen that can generate turnover up 2 billions of rupiah in 1 year. Reported from Kebumen News, this tourist attraction can receive revenues ranging from 5 to 20 million a day. This tourist attraction called Menganti Beach. Listener, local people said there is a legend that became the origin of the name of Menganti Beach. Once upon a time, there was a Majapahit kingdom warlord who fled to the south coast of Java because his relationship with the lover is not sanctioned by the king. Finally, they agreed to run away together and meet at the edge of the wide sandy ocean. All day long, the warlord kept waiting for the lover. However, the lover he had been waiting for did not come or did not appear. But the commander kept waiting and waiting for a long time. Based on this legend, the beach is named Pantai Menganti or Menganti Beach. Listener, Menganti Beach is located in Karang Duwur Village, Ayah Sub-District Regency of Kebumen, Central Java, approximately 40 km from Gombang Sub-District. Menganti Beach can be reached by motorcycle. However, it is advisable to use a motorcycle rather than using a car or bus because the road train that will be passed is quite difficult. There are two road options. First, from Gombang, take direction to Puring, then head for Subuk Beach and head for Menganti Beach. This road has a field that is quite challenging because it is full of sharp turns and steep inclines. This road is only 38 km to get to Menganti Beach, while the second road has a longer distance of about 45 km and take 1.5 hours. From Gombang, take the west to Lugending Beach, then select a track to rise toward Menganti Beach. Listener, Menganti Beach is a paradise for nature lovers. This tourist attraction that opened for public since 2011 is not only has a stretch of white sand, but also provide a nice spot for tourists who want to see the beach from above. Tourists can climb to the hill on the east side of the beach. In this location, the tourists can enjoy the entire coastal area with the curves of the cliffs and stretch and mix with blue ocean water. Beside that, on the top of this hill, there is also a lighthouse as high as 20 meters, which was established since the era of Dutch occupation in the year 1912 to 1915. Another nice spot is Karts Hills, located on the east, called Tanjung Karang Bata. This location is a lot of saung that available for a place the tourist to relax. In addition, there is also a good spot to take picture in the Jembatan Merah Gebyuran, directly overlooking the ocean. listener, do not let Menggenti Beach miss from the list of tourist attraction that you must visit, because by paying 10,000 for one person, you are able to enjoy the extraordinary natural beauty. And listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Menggenti Beach. We will see you again on next Indonesian Wonder with another interesting topic. See you again and goodbye.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Listener, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. This program is collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI Foreign Broadcast Station, and the Agency for Language Development and Development Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Mencari Hotel, which is in English means looking for a hotel. Stay tuned. Listener, as usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expression that relate to today's topic conversation. I will say it twice and slowly, and you can repeat after me. Selamat pagi. Selamat pagi. In English, good morning. Hotel. Hotel. In English, hotel. Terletak di mana? Terletak di mana? In English, where is it? Pusat kota. Pusat kota. In English, city center. Antarkan saya. Antarkan saya. In English, take me there. Antarkan saya. Antarkan saya. In English, take me there or bring me there. Pusat pertokoan. Pusat pertokoan. In English, shopping center. 2 jam. 2 jam. In English, 2 hours. Dekat. Dekat. In English, near or close. Tolong, tolong. In English, help or please help. Bintang lima, bintang lima. In English, 5 stars. Tarif, tarif. In English, price. Per kamar, per kamar. In English, per room. Per malam, per malam. In English, per night. 2 juta rupiah. 2 juta rupiah. In English, 2 million rupiah. Kamar standar. Kamar standar. In English, standard room. Jauh. Jauh. In English, far. Terima kasih. Terima kasih. In English, thank you. Terima kasih kembali. Terima kasih kembali. In English, you are welcome. Sampai ketemu lagi. Sampai ketemu lagi. In English, see you later. Well, listener, now I will present a conversation between Mr. Agus A and Mr. Budi B about looking for a hotel. A. Selamat pagi. Pak, apakah Bapak tahu hotel apa yang bagus di kota ini? Selamat pagi. Pak, apakah Bapak tahu hotel apa yang bagus di kota ini? In English. Good morning, sir. Do you know a good hotel in this city? Selamat pagi. Selamat pagi. Ya, saya tahu, Pak. Hotel Mandarin. Selamat pagi. Ya, saya tahu, Pak. Hotel Mandarin. In English. Good morning. Yes, I do. It is Mandarin Hotel. Hotel Mandarin terletak di mana? Apakah di pusat kota? Hotel Mandarin terletak di mana? Apakah di pusat kota? In English. Where is Mandarin Hotel? Is it located at the city center? Yeah, Hotel Mandarin terletak di pusat kota. Dekat Bundaran Hotel Indonesia. Ya, Hotel Mandarin terletak di pusat kota. Dekat Bundaran Hotel Indonesia. Dekat Bundaran Hotel Indonesia. In English. Yes, Mandarin Hotel is located at the city center. Near to the Hotel Indonesia. Near Hotel Indonesia roundabout. Baik, Pak. Baik, Pak. In English. Okay, sir. Okay, sir. Saya tidak suka hotel yang dekat dengan pusat pertokoan. Saya tidak suka hotel yang dekat. Saya suka hotel yang dekat dengan pusat pertokoan. Saya suka hotel yang dekat dengan pusat pertokoan. In English, I like a hotel near to the shopping center. Ya, Hotel Mandarin dekat dengan pusat pertokoan Plaza Indonesia. Hotel Mandarin dekat dengan pusat pertokoan Plaza Indonesia. Yes, Mandarin Hotel is near to the shopping center called Plaza Indonesia. Berapa lama perjalanan dari Bandara Soekarno-Hatta ke Hotel Mandarin? Berapa lama perjalanan dari Bandara Soekarno-Hatta ke Hotel Mandarin? How long does it take from Soekarno-Hatta Airport to Mandarin Hotel? Saya kira sekitar 2 jam. Saya kira sekitar 2 jam. I think it's about 2 hours. Hotel Mandarin, hotel bintang berapa? Hotel Mandarin, hotel bintang berapa? How many star Mandarin Hotel is? Hotel ini adalah hotel bintang 5. Hotel ini adalah hotel bintang 5. It's a 5-star hotel. Berapa tarif per kamar per malam? Berapa tarif per kamar per malam? How much is a room for one night? Kurang lebih 2 juta untuk kamar standar. Kurang lebih 2 juta untuk kamar standar. Approximately or it's about 2 million rupiah for a standard room. Apakah masih jauh? Apakah masih jauh? In English, is it still far? Tidak, kita sudah sampai di Hotel Mandarin. Tidak, kita sudah sampai di Hotel Mandarin. In English, no, we have arrived at the Mandarin Hotel. Baiklah, terima kasih. Baiklah, terima kasih. Oh, well, thank you. Terima kasih kembali. Sampai ketemu lagi. You are welcome and see you again. Well, listener, that was our Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today with the topic looking for a hotel. We will see you again next time with another interesting topic. Goodbye for now and sampai jumpa lagi.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Hernita, in the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. Well, in today's edition, I'll introduce you Bunga Citra Lestari. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Jangan Gila by Bunga Citra Lestari. Have a listening. That was the first song entitled Jangan Gila by Bunga Citra Lestari in a duet with actor Reza Rahardian. Bunga Citra Lestari, or also known as BCL, released her latest album entitled It's Me, BCL on July 12, 2017. The album, which consists of 10 songs, collaborated with a concert of Bunga Citra Lestari on March 1, 2017. The concert entitled It's Me, BCL described her personal story. BCL also released her new album, It's Me, BCL, which also represents herself. In the album, It's Me, BCL, Bunga Citra Lestari has presented some beautiful songs that have been featured in the concert, such as Jangan Gila, which has just played to you. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Aku Wanita, a collaboration between BCL with Dipa Barus. Happy listening. Listener, you've just listened to the song Aku Wanita by Bunga Citra Lestari featuring Dipa Barus. When releasing her new album, BCL explained that her new songs tend to describe what she likes in her life, what she wants to share to the music industry in the country. In addition, there is also an old song that was previously popularized by Reza Artamevia entitled Aku Wanita. Bunga Citra Lestari admitted the song has long been a part of her, so that BCL also presents it back in the new album. In addition to describe BCL herself, another uniqueness of the album It's Me BCL is the making process of the album that takes 5 years. 5 years is not a short time in the fast-paced digital era. During the work of her new album, the producer Suwardi Wijaya or Pak Iin, who has been she considered like her own father, passed away. However, BCL is increasingly motivated to finish these albums gradually. She believes God has decided everything. It was evidenced by the number of positive responses from fans when BCL finally released the new album. Well, listener, to conclude our segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Jera and Aku Bisa Apa. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.